Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. This is my dad, Ted.
Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. Have you ever experienced someone sharing with you their perspective on the events around you and been completely stunned by how incredibly different your own perspective is on the exact same situation? I think this happens to many of us, and too often, instead of engaging the weird narratives, we ignore them. And sometimes we ignore the people with those narratives. But sometimes we do engage in them, and we find ourselves moving along in the weird parts of our cranium, believing or fueling a narrative heading in a direction that is completely wrong. And I was recently confronted with this situation and learned a lot from that interaction. That interaction actually sparked today's episode and the strategy that follows. So, how do we get people to share a common perspective, or at least introduce them to other perspectives so that they learn and grow? Well, let's find out. However, before I share with you what happened and what we're going to do to support a strong end of journey and increase each other's honest narratives, let's remind ourselves of a few things. First, the definition of a leader. Because a leader is anyone with influence over another person, which means that all of us, just going about our business every day, are actually leading. And because people are watching us, they're studying us, they're wondering about us, and they're changing their behaviors because of us, and that's a big deal. And once you realize this and own the personal development that you need to grow and the mindset it takes to become a leader in everything you do, well, then you begin to focus on your behaviors. And those behaviors you should be employing the most to help guide you are those that help you operate and those that help you believe that you can get it done. And those two behaviors are incredibly important, and they are empathy and reflection. Taking time in the moments you are in front of others to build your own empathy so that you can serve them where they are at, as well as seek understanding for the world you both share, well, that's critical. But upon completion of all of this, the interaction between you and the other person, it's important to take a moment and reflect on what went well and what you can do different for them or others the next time you are together. And finally, how do we do this? Well, once you are aware and you are focusing on others, then you charge. Yep, remember that we are like the buffalo. We see a problem, we face it, and then we take it on with optimism and energy. That way, others see what to do. They see what we do, and they see the proactivity within us, and then they see a new way. And then we all lead. That is what smart thinkers do for others and for our own benefit. And as a result, we have to be intentional about the processes we put in place to support others. As we close out a project, a school year, an initiative, anything that we're coming towards the end of, we have to be very intentional about supporting the look back process. You see, everyone in every organization, and I don't care if it's a classroom, a school board, a team, a family, every group of people have individuals that share the same two diseases, narcolepsy and amnesia. People in every group sleep through really important information, and when they wake up, they say things within the organization like, when was this decided? Who decided this? Where did this come from? They literally are disengaged the entire time that things are being explained or even their input is being sought. That, my friends, is called narcolepsy. The second is amnesia. People coming into meetings, making commitments, and then coming back weeks later and forgetting what they said. People go through processes and forget decisions they made. They fail to recall their own ideas, their own actions, and their own words. Every group, every organization, everyone I've ever been around, there's always one or two people who sleep through the important details or forget their own commitments, and it creates great frustration and some really weird narratives. As a result, if we don't have a process to renew and unite the narrative, people create their own and they run with it because they can't remember or they slept through what actually happened. This causes organizations and teams, heck, even your own family, to find themselves frustrated with each other and likely in blame mode, creeping towards disengagement and eventually complete frustration and lack of trust. Wowza. That can get out of control fast. Fuel that with people with biases and the world gets tense in a hurry, moving uniformly in the same direction. United becomes impossible. Divided is the direction they go. Well, What are we going to do about it? We're going to unify the group and create the real narrative. But before we get into the process, guess what? I have a story that sparked this. A few weeks ago, we went on our annual pilgrimage to Nana and Pop's house in Southwest Florida. A week of lounging, eating, and exploring, and a lot of reading. I can't wait to talk about all the books I have for you for this summer. Now, I am by nature a t-shirt and shorts guy. I love a fun message on a t-shirt. It was part of my favorite things about being a principal in middle schools was sitting in the hallway and seeing the kids each day and reading the t-shirts that they had. It just made me laugh. I especially loved the Vote for Pedro t-shirts back in the day. Anyways, I also find that when I travel, t-shirts help you find your tribe. You wear a t-shirt from your home state and all types of total strangers shout out to you. It creates connectedness. It makes you feel safe. It makes you feel good. As a matter of fact, this current trip, we went with my sister-in-law and she had been an alumni, or she is an alumni of Michigan State. And everywhere she goes, she shouts out, "Go green!" And some stranger shouts back, "Go white!" Tribes. We come together pretty quickly when we see what we have in common. Anyway, one day I went for a stroll and sat down on a bench watching a group getting ready to board a chartered sailboat. As I was sitting there with my earbuds in listening to the Beatles, a man in his 70s sat down next to me and started to talk to me. Now, admittedly, I really couldn't hear him with my headphones on, so he nudged my arm. He said, "Hey, look at that guy." And he pointed at the charter boat captain. He said, "Must be nice, huh? Out there in shorts, a t-shirt, dock shoes, loading up a bunch of people on a boat at a couple $100 a person, then getting paid to just float around." At first, I was indifferent to his comments. I thought, it's just this guy. However, I have a friend who owns a charter boat, and I wouldn't want to be that friend for $1 million. His entire life depends on a lot of uncontrollables. Weather, the world's economy, fuel prices, federal and state regulations, what the fish are doing or what they're not doing, if the flights are on time, waves. And he's pretty much the most stressed friend that I have. Does he have good days? Yeah, he has amazing days. But he has plenty of worry and anxiety before and after those days. So as the man on the bench was yammering on about boat captains, I finally decided that I needed to walk away or engage him. I chose engagement. I turned and introduced myself. "Hey, I'm Ted." He shook my hand and then continued to berate the guy and the boat for having the greatest life ever. I simply asked him, "Why do you think it's so easy for him?" He said to me, "Look at him. Look how happy he is." And then I said, "Yeah, I would expect that as a cruise captain who depends on referrals and tips, he's going to be a happy guy and needs to have good energy so people have a great experience." All this was going on as we were watching a mom struggling to wrangle her young kids and put them in life jackets and lather them up with 1 million SPF. And then he began to shift to a new negative narrative. Oh, he's like, "Oh, that boat's probably free and clear. He's got no debt on that thing. This is probably all cash for him. It's probably some rich kid who couldn't make it doing anything else, who's just making a living down here, hanging out, drinking beer, and smoking, and just making money off of tips." I quipped back to him, "Well, I hope so." He looked at me. He then continued on. He's probably only got 4 more months to work down here. He probably only works 4 months. Well, poor guy. He's got it really tough. Each negative comment he said to me, I met him with positive empathy. I got to admit, I was kind of having fun. And then after about 5 more minutes of me going back and forth with him and watching the captain remove the ropes and slowly pull out of the marina, the older man stood up in front of me and kind of stared me down. Weirdly, he removed his sunglasses and he slowly read my t-shirt. It took him 3 seconds to formulate a whole new narrative, and now it was about me. He said to me, "Well, no wonder you're talking like this. You're one of those." "One of those," I said. He said, "Yeah, one of those." And I said, "Well, what would that be?" "Yeah, you're one of those." And I was smiling. I had no idea what one of those was. And I kindly inquired, "Sir, what do you mean by those?" "Well, your t-shirt says it all. You're the kind of person who lives off of others. You don't understand real work. You're paid a lot to do a little bit of work. You have tons of time off, and we all give you whatever you want." I was like, "You got all that from my t-shirt? Wow." He then said, "And your attitude is typical of all the rest of you." Okay, all right, let's break this down. I'm sitting there pretty much stunned. Now, if you've never met me or seen me before, I'm 6 feet tall, 175 pounds, I'm a white male. I can lift a gallon of milk with ease with my giant 9-inch biceps. I'm 52 years old. I have, as my friends tell me, cinnamon sugared colored hair, i.e. brown and gray, and I was wearing a t-shirt, khaki dad shorts, and green rubber Birkenstocks. I could not for the life of me understand what one of those means in this man's context. I mean, I literally look like 80% of the vacationing dads in Florida. However, I did have an idea. I looked over my sunglasses as he stood there and I said, "Sir, I don't think that was a fair assessment of me." He said, "Yeah, it is. You're just sitting here on a weekday and clearly you're one of those." And he pointed to my shirt again. I slowly stood up, not for effect. I was still recovering from my appendix episode. And I said, "Friend, I'm not sure what one of those is, but let me introduce myself again to help you out." Now, I'd figured out exactly what he was talking about because I was keenly aware of my t-shirt and what it said. And then I said to him, "Hi, I'm Ted. I'm the CEO and executive director of a service agency and company in Wisconsin. I support nearly 200 colleagues. I work for lots of different people. I'm a husband and a father. I speak around the country about leadership. I have a podcast. I blah, 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 blah. Who are you and what did you do?" He looked stunned. He told me how he was retired and had been a mid-level executive at a large bank in Connecticut. He then said, "Why are you wearing that t-shirt?" I said, "Because it's true." He said, I guess it is. And then he said, "You really believe what it says?" And I said, "I sure do. It represents everything I believe in, what my wife believes in, what my mom, my cousins, my brother, and now my two kids believe." He said, "I got to be honest, I'm glad you took the time to confront me on my comment." I winked at him and said, "It wasn't confrontation, sir. It was carefrontation." We both laughed and he said, "You really are one of those." And I said, "Yes, I proudly am." He walked away and I sat back down. I watched the boat slowly glide away and continued to casually stare out into the distance listening to the Beatles. But it got me thinking about you and how we all deal with people who have the wrong narrative, and too often we lack the buffalo ability to run into the situation and carefrontation that person or those people. As we come to the end of any project, season, or school year, we need to create the conditions to unify the group and, more importantly, unify the narrative so we all walk away saying the same thing and understanding that we just experienced something remarkable together and in one set of ideas. The man who casually started being a cow next to me on the bench didn't realize he sat next to a buffalo, someone who was not going to be impacted by pessimistic judgments and was clearly one of those. So, why should we sit down next to people like that and not confront it? Let's get to the tool and process. Because I have it for you, and I think it's going to be very helpful. It's called Our Narrative, or you can even call it Our Story. What I want you to do is create one unified understanding of your year, your journey, your appreciations, your celebrations, your team, your people, your culture, and those that you should honor. In the absence of doing that, well, we continue to have multiple perspectives on the same event, and not all of them will be optimistic or grateful. Listen, I don't care what your title is. You are responsible for elevating the people around you, and that can be best done by looking back and forward at the same time. Too many people go through the motions, blame others, forget to use their strengths, and are not paying attention to the millions of micro actions taking place around them all year long that support them, us, and everyone. And there are also a few people running around keenly aware of what is going on, and they don't always have the courage to step up and face the negative resistance and weird narratives being spoken everywhere around them. So here's the process. It's a gallery of consensogram posters in a large space. What's a consensogram poster? It's just a big post-it paper with lots of blocks and lines and words on it that people can drop in post-it pads or dots to make sure that you hear their voice and see their choice. So give everyone dots and post-its and create prompts on poster paper. Now here are the prompts, and I'll put them into the descriptor of the podcast so that you can just copy and paste them out of that when you get back to your office or your workspace. So the first prompt is, what are our celebrations internally? The second prompt is, what are our celebrations externally? The third prompt is, grow my engagement by. The fourth prompt is, there's professional development needs that we have, and these are them. The fifth prompt is, elephants in the room. The sixth prompt, recognitions. And the seventh prompt, can you believe? As we are all walking around with our own narratives, absorbed in our own biases and problems, how can you create unity if you're not intentional? You can't. Subcultures take over, and then people run with the wrong headlines. And many times you can't change it, especially if you don't try. So let's break down what to do here. The celebration's internal. On this poster, what I want you to do is I want you to draw boxes and have people use post-its to fill in their ideas in those boxes. The boxes should be labeled and say colleagues, students, programs, events, initiatives, failures overcome, and then a few blanks so people can add to it. And the idea is that you walk up to this, and when you see the celebrations internally, you write just a short narrative and the name of a person that you think needs to be celebrated. You write down the name of a group, a program, or an event that went really, really well. You talk about an initiative that you're very proud to have been a part of, and you write it up there and you put it on the poster. The second one is celebrations external. This one has boxes that say stakeholders, partners, businesses, parents, clubs, customers, and space for lots of other groups to be listed. And it's the same thing. People walk up to it and they're like, ooh, this stakeholder group was awesome. These customers were remarkable. This business partner did great things for us. These families, parents, people, they were incredible and very supportive of us. Number three, grow my engagement. Again, this is a big poster and it says, for people that they should use the sticker dots. And then you should have several boxes and people just put the dots in every box they want. And the boxes should say things like, hey, grow my engagement by increasing professional development, increasing recognition, opportunities for coaching, clarified expectation, more feedback, opportunities to collaborate and work with others, and more sheet cakes. You got to always put those sheet cakes up there. Number four. Professional development. This poster is one that should contain labeled boxes that identify initiatives that are taking place within your organization or things that you know are going to trend towards making an impact on your organization. Things like AI or assessments, data interpretation, management of colleagues or management of students, collegial support, problem solving, conflict resolution, all these different types of things going on within your organization that people need to be lifted and trained to be better so that they are the best version of themselves. These are categories that we think about and rarely are asked for input. So put them up there. Leave a couple of blank boxes so people can add words and then have people go back around and review everything and maybe they'll agree that, yeah, we actually need more training on that. The fifth one is elephants in the room. Explain that this one is simple. It just basically means, what are we not talking about and what is one thing we can do about it? This way, if there are subcultural gripes, things that leadership might be missing or not hearing, it can come up as an elephant in the room. And the best way to eat an elephant is one bite at a time. So get that information up there, use it, address it, and move forward. Create the narrative that we care, because you do, but now it's very visible to all. Number six, recognitions. Again, a simple poster, post-it pads. Who should we recognize and why? Leave this one wide open and then go up there and see all the different people that we should recognize and why. And friends, this is a really important one. It's micro and macro. Too often in organizations, specifically in schools, we celebrate the living daylights out of like the top 5% of our kids. We put the smartest kids up on the screen. We put the varsity athletes, the state champions. We take the best employees and we put them up there. But what that doesn't do is it doesn't honor all the other people who are working really hard and have all different sorts of lift. And their colleagues see those things. Yeah, you can work just as hard as someone who closes a giant deal. You can work just as hard as someone who moves mountains for children. And because you didn't move them as high or as far or as fast, people look past you. That's not right. Let's create the narrative that we see you, we care about you, and you matter. But we don't see everything we're doing, so your colleagues have to tell us how to recognize you. So engage in it. And the last one, number seven, look at what we've done. This is a collection of things that we did this year that in the course of constantly moving forward, we have often forgotten that we accomplished these things or overcame them. Again, this is one of those pieces where we can shut down the weird narratives that are created by organizations that have amnesia and narcolepsy, people who sleep through different initiatives and people who forget that they've done things, and then we put them up there. Just for instance, in a school year, it's 180 days. Do you remember all of the things you have done since August? I mean, right now when this is being recorded, it's early April. That's months ago. You probably haven't thought about it in months. Well, guess what? Put this one up there. Think about it. Look back in your calendar. Think of all of the things that people have overcome and what we've done, because it's remarkable. You can't go through a school year without a million little miracles. So why do we do this? It gives everyone voice. And the only way to do that by providing people voice is to follow the last suggestion of this process. Are you ready? You give everyone voice by making sure no one talks. Yeah, you heard me. You give everyone voice by making sure no one talks. So what I would suggest is you play music and you ask people to stand in front of the different posters and quietly put up their needs, beliefs, and ideas. Why? In the absence of asking people to be quiet, they're going to be really loud. And for some of us, that's intimidating and unsafe. So what we do then is, as these people are really loud, is we pretend to participate, and then a certain few organizational bullies, well, they get louder and more critical, and they stand in front of the poster, and they criticize the things that other people are putting up on the boards. And then, well, then no one wants to participate because they really do want to help guide the real narrative of what's going on. But if there's someone up there that's an organizational bully who's like, I can't believe you just put that up there. Everybody knows no one likes working here. Well, the narrative will stick because everyone's afraid to tell the truth. Giving everyone voice and choice is critical. So giving everyone voice by having everyone be quiet is an amazing process piece of this process. Now, if you are the facilitator, once everyone is back in their seats, go poster to poster and randomly pull off a post-it and read it, celebrate it, and get clarification. Ask people if they want to add to it. Stand next to the posters with the dots and validate that you will create the conditions with them to meet their needs, and constantly reinforce the risks that people took to share with you the information, and that now that we have one narrative, we will use this to grow forward. Instead of a collection of homegrown narratives that are both accurate and inaccurate, we will now have one narrative, our story. Process always prevails, and whenever there is a problem, it is likely because there is no process. The problem here is that a negative narrative is like a virus, slowly creeps through the organization, your family, or your friends, and it's not visible. Then one day, everyone's looking around, feeling sick, and can't figure out why. It is likely because the wrong narrative has taken seed. And those are hard to recover from. Unless you challenge them through the process. So be one of those leaders that create the conditions so that others find the real narrative, change their perspective, engage in the mission, and do what is best for all of the people we serve by listening. Speaking of those, I bet you're wondering what my t-shirt said. Quickly, another story. In February, we were visiting my daughter, Grace, who's a freshman at Loyola University in Chicago, and she took us to a fun little neighborhood where we spent the day record shopping, going into shops and looking around. We bought a lot of candles that day. Anyways, we wandered into a t-shirt shop, and it's one of our last stops, and I saw a t-shirt on the wall, and I was like, I've got to get this for my buddy, Renzi. It was a red t-shirt that said, Go Taylor Swift's Boyfriend, because it was the week before the Super Bowl. And as we were checking out, I saw a t-shirt that I was like, huh, that speaks to what I believe, and I want it. So the morning in Florida when I put it on, I walked out. My wife said, ooh, I like that, Teddy. So when I drove down to the waterside and sat down listening to the Beatles, waiting for whatever it was I was waiting for, I was not expecting someone to come up to me, stereotype me, judge me, call me one of those, and make assumptions about me based upon a t-shirt. So what did it say? Well, it says exactly what the people I love do the most. It says what many of you do. It is a mission statement, a way to live your life, a description of us as parents, partners, teachers, friends, bosses, managers, colleagues, coaches, siblings, sons, and daughters. It's a statement so simple that I was proud to be one of those. And it says, teach, period, change lives, period, repeat. That's it. I'm really proud to be one of those. And you should be too. We are buffaloes that lead with empathy, who influence others by being ourselves, by teaching, changing lives, and then just repeating that process. So let's get the correct narrative in our organization and move ourselves forward as a herd of optimists. So let's do some smart thinking. List the people in your life that need to have a new narrative. Describe your process for supporting a single optimistic narrative within your organization. And finally, list people and places that could use this type of coaching to increase their ability to be stronger through process. That's it. Hey, that's the Smart Thinking Podcast. As always, thank you for listening. And please make sure to share this episode, rate this episode, and use it to help others find the real narrative of your organization and their journey. Also, thank you to the Well Pennies for their great music. Make sure to follow them on your musical platform, Spotify, iTunes, whatever you use, or even go buy their CDs. The Well Pennies are pretty awesome. They're pretty supportive, and their music is always upbeat and optimistic. Okay, finally, creating the conditions that you have a realistic and accurate narrative is your responsibility. This process, as outlined, can be used anywhere and with anyone. It could be used in the classroom, the boardroom, the faculty lounge, at a law firm, at a doctor's office, I don't know, anywhere, anyhow. Because everywhere there is a problem with narratives and stories. When that man came up to me and said, "You're one of those," I got to be honest, I smiled. I'm proud that I'm a teacher by training, that my wife is a teacher, that my mom's a teacher, that my brother's a teacher, and that both of my children will be teachers. I was validated the second I stood up off the bench. I took my headphones out, turned off the Beatles, and started to walk away, and as I turned around, there was a couple behind me waiting to get on a boat, and the wife put her hand up and said, "Give me five." I smiled and said, "Ooh, we're doing that again?" And she said, "Yes. Do you know why?" And she pointed at my t-shirt, and she said, "I'm one of those too." And her husband said, "We both are." We laughed. I mean, if there is a place in the United States that's crawling with educators and teachers in March, it's going to be Southwest Florida, not a place to pick on educators. However, my walk back to the car really made me think about our schools, our staffs, and others, and how too often we do not accurately tell our story. And it's because we don't have a clear narrative of the awesomeness happening in billions of ways across the world every minute in front of children and other people all of the time. It doesn't matter if you're in a classroom, if you're in school, you are teaching, you are learning, you are growing, you are leading. So this week, I want you to really focus on the narrative and turning people around to see that all around them, there are people, processes, and programs that are making a difference, how they are a part of it, and how we all matter. Come on. Buffaloes charge into the storms they're facing, and the quickest way to get a herd around you is by unifying everyone with a similar perspective and a shared narrative. So do it. So this week, be one of those. A buffalo, a leader, a teacher, a person who makes a difference, and then repeat it. Oh, you and I are always happier, I know. Along some highway road, and take a little break from the radio while, and anything to see you smile. And every moment keeps revealing this electric kind of feeling, and right away I know for better. Life is good when
perfect. perfectly in line. Even after all this time, carry me away now and take me for a spell, and I can carry you.